Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Vayigash, we have five Divrei Torah, but we're going to start a little bit earlier than Parshas Vayigash. We're going to start at the way end of last week's Parsha, Parshas Miketz. And at the juncture, the Yehuda, who was the leader of Klal Yisrael, the leader of the brothers at that point, he is dealing with Yosef. Unfortunately, Binyamin, the youngest of the brothers, was found to have the goblet of Yosef, and now the brothers are heading back, literally with the tail between their legs, embarrassed, terribly broken, because they were effectively caught stealing, although they weren't responsible, it was planted, but nonetheless, it looks terrible for them. And Yehuda says as follows at the end of last week's Parsha, end of Parsha's Migesh, Vayomer Yehuda, Mano Marlo Adonai, what can we say? How can we rationalize? How can we possibly justify the situation that we're in? We were caught red-handed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uncovered the situation, uncovered our theft. And here we are, Avadim La'Adoni. We are turning ourselves in. We are going to be your servants. Not only Gama Nachnu, Gama Shanim Tzahag V'yabiyado, not only the person who was caught, that's Binyamin, but all of us brothers, we are going to be enslaved to you. And interestingly, Yosef here says, I'm going to lighten the sentence. You, Yehuda, are saying a very extreme thing. It's not going to only be the person who was caught, Binyamin, but all of you are going to be held responsible. All of you are going to be avadim. And Yosef says, no, that's not going to be the case. I'm not going to hold all of you responsible. I'm only going to hold Binyamin responsible, but the rest of you can go free. And apparently we would think that Yehuda and the rest of the boys, or the brothers, would be elated with that, not so happy about the situation that Binyamin is going to be enslaved, but it's much better that only one brother be enslaved than all of them be enslaved, and in fact, it's a much better deal than Yehuda was offering. Yehuda is saying, all of us will be enslaved, and Yosef is saying, only one of you needs to be enslaved, and that's why, beginning of Parshas Vayigash now, it's a little bit strange, and this is pointed out by the Al-Sheikh, Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda now, that Yosef says, I'm going to lighten the sentence, Yehuda effectively goes to war against Yosef. He didn't like that. Vayomer Biadoni, let me talk to you, I'm going to speak with you. He talks strongly to him. And he says, there's no one like you, there's no one like Paro, and I indeed want to speak with you about the situation here. Rashi points out he spoke strongly to him. And he says, this is not going to work out. And the question is, and this is the Al-Sheikh's question, he says, why is Yehuda approaching Yosef so strongly? Speaking so strongly against what Yosef is saying, that he's going to lighten the sentence. We would think that it would be the opposite. So the Al-Sheikh answers beautifully. He says as follows, what was going on here is that initially when Yehuda said, let all of us be enslaved, all of us should be enslaved, he was thinking the whole reason that this punishment is coming to the brothers is because it's a mida keneged mida. It is a punishment to them because just as they sold Yosef into slavery, they were being punished now, and they were being taken as slaves by Yosef, not knowing that it's Yosef. It's a mita keneged mita. This is a punishment for their having acted in the way that they did. Selling Yosef, now they are being enslaved. And that's why the Pasuk says, at the end of last week's parsha, man nedaber, man nitzadak, what can I say? What can I justify our actions? Elokim atzah esavon avadecha. What that means? What's that referring to? The sin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu found our sin? It's talking about the sin of the selling of Yosef, not the stealing of the goblet of Yosef. It's talking about we sold Yosef, and that's why we're having this mida keneged mida. That's why we're being punished. That's why we're being sold into slavery. Not sold, we're being taken into slavery because we sold Yosef into slavery. However, when Yosef, the viceroy, not knowing he's Yosef, when the viceroy of Egypt says, no, I'm not going to take all of you, I'm just going to take Binyamin. I'm just going to take the one who stole the goblet here. Yehuda says, it's not that this is a mida keneged mida that we're going to be taken into slaves because we sold Yosef, because if that's the case, if it was a mida keneged mida, if this is a punishment for our selling Yosef, there wouldn't be Binyamin and only Binyamin who's being taken into slavery. Why? Because Binyamin was the one of us who wasn't involved in the sale of Yosef. He was the most innocent of all of us. He wasn't even there. So now it's clear to Yehuda that this is not because of their having sold Yosef, but rather because they were framed. Binyamin was framed, and he knew that was a false claim. And now at this point, he sees it's not because of Mechiras Yosef, because of their having been framed, Binyamin being framed. Now he says, I'm going to go to war about this. I'm not going to sit back in this. If it's because of the punishment of selling Yosef, we have that coming to us. But if it's because of that goblet, that's not a true claim against us. And now I'm going to go to war against this claim against us. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2. We are in Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Aleph, and we are continuing. We had the discussion between Yehuda and Yosef, and Yehuda explains in a very emotional statement that this will be the end of my father. This will be the end of Yaakov Avinu. If you take Binyamin, the cherished son of Yaakov Avinu, and in fact, Yehuda says, I'm the better person for you to take. And I was the Arev. I am the guarantor. Ki avdecha Arev, I guarantee that I'll bring Binyamin back, and now just take me instead. I work better. I'm bigger. I'm faster. I'm stronger. Take me. Take me in his stead. That is the case that Yehuda is arguing. And now in the Pasuk it says, the loyochal Yosef lisapek. Yosef could not control himself. He could not keep it internal anymore. He had to disclose who he was. And the question that the Shemesh Shmuel asks is, why specifically now? We've had conversations, we've had back and forth between the brothers and Yosef, going back and forth, and why now? At only this juncture does the emotion overcome Yosef that he cannot control himself and he has to come out and say, I am really Yosef. So he explains as follows, the Shemesh Shmuel, that Yosef was going through this process because he wanted the brothers to do true tshuva. And accordingly, he spoke strongly to them. He caused them sorrow. He wanted to do that because he wanted them to bring them to subjugation, to supplication of themselves. And that's what's part of tshuva. They had to be subjugated. And accordingly, only now, as we see in the conversations between Yehuda and Yosef, that Yehuda was talking differently. Until now, he did not talk differently. He did not subjugate himself. But now he says, avdecha. In this conversation, ki avdecha rev, your servant. He's referring to himself vis-a-vis Yosef as the servant, as Yosef. And here it registers directly with Yosef. This is what I was waiting for. This is now accomplishing my goal to have them supplicate themselves. This is part of the tshuva process, the repentant process. And now that Yehuda, the leader of the brothers, is saying he's my eved, they have come through a true tshuva. They sold me as an eved. They are saying now they're avadim to me. And now I see that I can reveal himself because they have really come around to doing a full tshuva. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3, Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Yosef has revealed himself, and he's gone together, and there's an embrace between him and his brothers. And now Yosef sends his brothers back to Canaan with gifts. And the plan is that they're going to bring Yaakov down, their father and their families back to Mitzrayim. And as the Pasuk says, Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, that Yosef sends Chamorim Noasim Mitu Mitzrayim. They have donkeys that are bringing back of the best crops, of the best produce of Egypt. And Rashi makes a cryptic sentence, a cryptic statement as follows, Sharlach lo Yayin Yashan. In fact, Yosef sent back aged wine, Chada'as Zakenim Nocha Yemenu, that the Zakenim, like Yaakov is a Zaken, that it would be pleasant for them. What is this talking about? Why is it significant that he sent aged wine back to his father? What is going on here? So in fact, there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet, that says as follows, Yesh Kankan Chadash Maleyashan. There is a barrel full of new wine. I'm sorry, there is a barrel that is a new barrel, and it is full of old wine, aged wine. And what's going on there? It's a very interesting mission. Is that saying that sometimes when you look on the outside, it looks like something is brand new and young? You can have a young person but it could be that he's full of wisdom on the inside. So don't focus on the outside. Look at the internal of the individual. So that's represented by the wine. The wine is aged. There's wisdom there, even though on the outside it's a new barrel. And what Yosef is trying to do is he's trying to send a message to his father, Yaakov, that even though on the outside I look like an Egyptian, I look like an Egyptian ruler, and you're going to be concerned, and I know you are concerned that there have been significant changes in me, you have to know, you have to relax, you have to understand that all is well, Baruch Hashem, with my ruchnius, with my spirituality. And I know that you're concerned, but I have stayed the same person on the inside. And that is what the language of Rashi is coming to teach us in explaining that he sent back the best of Egypt, talking about wine, including aged wine. Shalach lo yayin yashan, he sent this aged wine. What's that saying? That it's the same wine. It's aged. In other words, it's the same me on the inside. There has been no change of the substance of who I am. Shedasa kenim nocha imenu, that the das, the knowledge, the approach of this kenim to this wine is something that it really allays their concerns. That's what Yosef is saying to his father. This is the wine. Look at the internal. Although on the outside it looks like there may be a change that I am an Egyptian ruler, I'm the viceroy. Look on the inside. There's been no change. And you're the zaken. You are the Zakein, and you should feel relaxed and comfortable that I am the same Yosef on the inside. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. We are in Perek Mem Vav Pasuk Chavtes. We have Yosef, who has now appearing before Yaakov. Yaakov is coming down to Egypt. Vaya'al Likras Aviv Yisrael Goshna Vayera Elav. We have Yosef traveling to meet up with his father in Goshen. That's the place where the Jews are going to be settling. Vayera Elav. And Yosef appeared in front of Yaakov. Very interesting language. It's not that he saw his father Yaakov, but he appeared in front of him. In fact, Rashi really hits on that, emphasizes that Yosef Nira El Aviv, he appeared to his father. What is going on here? The significance. So Rav Naftali Ptrup from Radin says as follows. What's Rashi coming to teach us here? Rashi is coming to teach us that it wasn't that Yosef went and traveled to his father because he missed his father. Okay, that also, but that wasn't what was really going on here. It wasn't that he had this need to see his father. It wasn't based on this physical need, an emotional need that he was motivated by his own self-motivations and his self-interest. That is not what is going on here. But rather, he went lehera os lifnei aviv. That's the language of the pasuk. Vayera elav, that he appeared in front of his father. He wanted to show his father who he was for the specific purpose of being mekayim the mitzvah of kibud av. He wanted to show respect to his father. I know you're concerned about me. You don't have to be concerned. I am here to show you who I am, just like the prior fort. I'm showing you the internals, that old wine, that aged wine, that it's still me. I am coming not because I want to see you also that, but his primary reason was for his father's need, not his own personal need. And now we are moving forward to number 5. What was the reaction? Vayipol al tzavarav. Yosef falls on Yaakov's neck. He embraces him. And in fact, what's very interesting, Rashi brings the Chazal to say that Yaakov did not have the same reaction. It was Yosef falling on Yaakov, his father's neck, but Yaakov did not do the same. Rashi says as follows, "Val Yaakov lo nafal atzavare Yosef lo nashko." It was Yosef that was embracing his father, kissing his father, but Yaakov did not fall on the neck, embrace, and kiss his son. Why? What was he doing? This is the most emotional encounter, his favorite son. The Amru Raboseinu Chazal Tala Shaya Koreat Shema. He was reading Kriyat Shema. It's the time for Kriyat Shema, the end time for Kriyat Shema. He had to say Kriyat Shema. So that begs the question, why is Yaakov saying Kriyat Shema and Yosef is not saying Kriyat Shema? And in fact, we've just been talking on two of these Divrei Torah about Yaakov wants to see and Yosef wants to show that it was no change. He's still the same wine. He still has the same ruchnias. He should be saying Kriyat Shema just like his father. So in fact, the Maharal says beautifully that there is a halacha when it comes to the Kriyat Shema, that if somebody is in the midst of Kriyat Shema, the default is you can't stop. You have to say Kriyat Shema. You can't break. You can't say Shalom Aleichem to somebody. You can't check the time. Can't check your email in the middle of. You're saying Shema to Kadosh Baruch Hu. However, if there is a fear, Yira, for example, if the king comes and says hello, to ask you a question, you have fear for your life. If you have certain type of fear, then you are permitted to stop in the middle of the Kriyat Shema. So accordingly, we're going to look at Yaakov and Yosef, and they actually have different responsibilities. They have a different relationship, obviously. Yaakov being the father, Yosef being the child. The child has an obligation, Ish Imo Va'aviv Tirao. There's an obligation of Yira, the fear of awe, towards a parent. And when you have that fear of Yira, that is when you are permitted to stop in the middle of the Kriyat Shema. However, when you don't have that obligation of Yira, of awe, of fear, then you have to say the Kriyat Shema accordingly. When it came to Yosef, Yosef was obligated to stop. He couldn't say the Kriyat Shema because he has his father there. He has this obligation, Ish Imo Vaviv Tirao. He wasn't able to stop. He wasn't able to say the Kriyat Shema. And if he had started, he'd have to stop because now his father's there. He has an obligation of Yira, stop in the middle. On the other hand, when it came to Yaakov, towards his son, he doesn't have an obligation of Yira. He has the obligation of saying the Kriyat Shema and not stopping the Kriyat Shema. If it's his man Kriyat Shema, Sosman Kriyat Shema, it's the end of the time, the Kriyat Shema, he has to say the Kriyat Shema. Accordingly, what we have here is that Yaakov was obligated in the Kriyat Shema. He didn't have the p'tur of not saying it because of Yira. Yosef, the son, on the other hand, was obligated to give Yira to his father, and accordingly he was absolved from the obligation of saying the Kriyat Shema. That is the explanation of the Maharal. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.